Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
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 To be able to come into your workspace, into your living room area, and then be able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. I just thank those of you that were able to tune in today, and may God richly bless you, you, and you. Hallelujah. I just want to take this opportunity right now to go down in prayer, and we want to acknowledge those of you that has lost loved ones. I have been reading a lot of banners with those of you that has lost loved ones, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your niece, your nephew, a colleague, you know, a good friend. And so I want to acknowledge those of you that has lost loved ones. And I just want God to just take you in his arm and just caress you with this love as only God can do. And I hope and pray that God will restore restoration unto your heart and soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. All right, we're going to change up the program, and we're going to go into intro prayer. We always come across these airways with a intro prayer during the intro part of our service. And so right now, without any further ado, we're going to go down in prayer and we're going to acknowledge our Lord and Savior, our soon coming Messiah, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and reference the one and only Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we come with a grateful heart on tonight of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity again around the spectrum, God. For we're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, God. And we know that this land that we're standing on right now is not our eternal home, God. But we know that you have lying in wait in preparing of us a mansion that's not built by mortal man, but you are its architect, you are its creator, God. And until you crack those clouds one of these historical mornings, God, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land, God. And I'm asking you on tonight, Father God, to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may or may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity, God. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, grace me, your servant, with words of wisdom, words of encouragement, God, to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings, Father God, we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty name, and we will allow the church to say amen and amen around the nation. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. All right, I will be with you tonight. Hallelujah. 45 minutes, I believe it is, on the clock. Hallelujah. And I just want you to get comfortable. I want you to get you a cushion to position your posture, and I'd like you to have your cool beverage or maybe a bag of snacks or whatever suits your fancy, but my target is to bring the divine word of truth into your living room area, into your workspace, wherever that you are listening to this radio podcast on tonight. I want to bring unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. And I sermon on tonight entitled Evil and Injustice, How Do We Respond? I'd like to say that one more time. Evil and injustice, how do we respond? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, saints of God and friends and Christians and you alike, those of you that are listening live in our audience on tonight around the world, when you and I look at those who do evil and seem to get away with it and even prosper because of it, how do you and I as Christians respond? Recently there was a pastor whom had counseled a secretary whom had been faced with long suffering of abuse from an employer. And we found out that the anxiety that she felt had reached a dangerous level. And as a result, she took a weapon to work. We was told that the secretary, who had shown no previous violent behavior, was ready to choose murder as a response to the boss who had humiliated her with verbal attacks and sexual advances and unfair demands. We are told in the law of Psalms 37 by the writer David, he gives us several insights into the proper Christian response. First, he says that do not fret, for we are not to become annoyed or envious of anyone who does wrong. And David assures us that their day, though they may seem ease and prosperous, are numbered, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. That's in verse 2. Secondly, he tells us that we must trust in the Lord for what we need. We find out that David, drawing on his own experience of God's faithfulness in the past, and says that, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seeds begging bread. That's in verse 25. Even though we find out that evil seems more profitable and secure, we are told to do good. That's verse 3 and 27. And we are told to depend totally on the Lord for what we need. Thirdly, he suggests that we must cease from anger and forsake wrath. That's in verse 8. For we know that anger only perpetuate the cycle of hatred and retaliation. Rather than responding with violence, we are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 7. For God is faithful and will give ultimately deal justice to his faithful. So I want to encourage you that are out there in my live podcast audience on tonight to don't do evil for evil, but wait on God, and God will fix it. God will serve justice for the injustice. Hallelujah. And we know that it's a wonderful guarantee of life, and what an assurance guaranteed of God's presence. And we know that these words of instructions were spoken to the children of Israel by the prophet Amos during a time when Israel was enjoying peace and economic prosperity. It would seem that the blessings of God upon his people would cause them to love and seek him all the more. But it was not so with the children of Israel. In fact, they responded in the opposite way, turning from him and becoming self-centered, complacent, and indifferent. We find out that the prospering rich of Israel became cruel and unjust toward the poor. We know that the whole society was marked by materialism, adultery, and most of all, injustice and unrighteousness. In essence, they could not handle the blessings of God. And what is your and I response today to God's blessings of peace and prosperity as a nation? Have we turned away from God to follow materialism and to practice injustice and unrighteousness? Disobedience will always bring about justice and judgment. Yet God remains long-suffering and does not punish without offering the opportunity for repentance. What God wants you and I to clearly do, what is best for us. God loves justice and righteousness. In fact, the Lord loves righteousness and judgment. We go into the law of Law of 33 and 5. Therefore, God says, but let judgment run down as water and righteousness as a mighty stream. That scripture reading is found in the law of Amos 5 and 24. Just, we find out, is the root of the word justice, and right is the root of the word righteous. Our God, my God, your God, our God, is just. And all of his ways are right. We were created in God's own image, you and I, and his likeness as well. Through Jesus, his Son, we were made the righteousness of God. And by faith in his Son, we were justified. Nothing can change our created image, but our choices in life can certainly pervert it. What choices, I would ask, in life were you making? I would encourage you today to choose the ways of life that are just and that are right. Hallelujah. We find out that Habakkuk represented the view of many Christians who wondered if the violent and the evil of the wicked one will always prevail over the righteous. I come to bring you the good news. And that response, my friend, is no. They sometimes worry that God does not see them in their long suffering, or that he is not involved in their tough and painful situation. Although understandable, these views are far from the truth. We know that one of God's great gifts for Christians is a vision of justice and deliverance to which they can cling for hope, the assurance that the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, we are encouraged to wait for it because it will surely come, saints of God and friends and you alike. It will not tarry when God will fulfill this vision, however, is known only to him. And we can look back on our ancestors as African Americans who were brought to the United States as slaves, hallelujah, They found hope and comfort in the understanding that trouble don't last always. As they labored in the fields and fought for freedom, hallelujah, they rejoiced in knowing that God's justice and grace would not fail. Belief in God's goodness and love has carried African-American people for generations through challenges and victories. We're told that Habakkuk reminds believers not to be distracted or overwhelmed by the circumstances that engulf them, but rather to stand firmly on the certainty of God's presence in every area of our Christian life. God has a plan of protection and a plan of deliverance. For the Lord is in his holy temple, so let all the earth keep silence before him. That's in verse 20. And our prayer to the Lord would be, eternal God, no one can take us from your hand. We come to your loving embrace. Help us to believe and wait for the vision that deliver us. We praise you that it will surely, surely come, though it linger. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And we also know, hallelujah, that in the story of Zacharias, we find out that it is a compelling illustration of God's justice. But was there something unexpressed in this small man desire to see Jesus? Was there something more than curiosity that made this little rich man run ahead of the crowd and climb up a tree? Now, judging from the way the story ended, I suggest that Zacharias was driven by a God-given desire for wholeness, for unity in his very being. Jesus summoned Zacharias to come down from the tree. The crowd grumbled when they saw Jesus go to the home of the rich tax collector. They stereotyped Zacharias and called him a sinner. To them, Zacharias was not worthy of Jesus' company. And they believed that Zacharias deserved to be treated with the same kind of justice he meted out. But whatever Zacharias' status was, we're told that Jesus looked beyond his faults, your faults and my faults, and he saw every one of our needs. And he saw Zacharias' needs and declared, this day is salvation. Come to this house. Now, this was creative justice. For in the company of Jesus, Zacharias was moved to benevolence. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. In addition, we find out that Zacharias voluntarily ordered to exceed the requirements of the law in making restitutions for his past dishonesty. He said, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. Hallelujah. He deeply wanted to be just in his actions, to show the same mercy that Jesus has shown unto him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that God tempers justice with mercy. And we find out that Jesus' expressions of creative justice towards Zacharias was a unique expression of God's love and God's justice. Justified the unjust. Perhaps the Apostle Paul put it best. But God commanded his love toward us. And that while yet you and I were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's found in the law of Romans 5:8. And in closing, I hope and I pray that I've said something to impact your mind and infuse your spirit, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. Make them attentive to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal, Digital, Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been The Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. And I will bring before your presence on tonight hymns of encouragement to encourage someone's heart that might have a heavy laden on your heart tonight. I want you to know that God can brighten up your heavy load. So these selections will bring our program to its completion. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Listen up and be encouraged if you will.
You're so close, you're not that far. Oh, you don't have to stay the same, but you gotta wanna change. Just do your part. You gotta want
Yeah. Yeah. You were playing.